they do set the 18th edition of the Joint Committee on Waste and Means Natural Resources Subcommittee today. We're going to hear House Bill 1520, Department of Environmental Quality, talking about fee increases. And also we're going to have a public hearing on additional information on House Bill 3225. We'll begin with the Department of Environmental Quality. And Mr. Rocco, for the good of the order, you have some introductory remarks.
Mr. Chair, I've passed out the numbers of House Bill 5020 along with a fiscal impact statement and some draft amendments that we're proposing the committee adopt today. This bill is similar to the bill that the committee dealt with earlier this week from the Department of Ag, where it's just a ratification of fee increases that were enacted during the interim after July 1st of the of 1997. The agency, through rulemaking, increased the fees in the bill for various air quality, water quality, and waste management programs. This measure does not include any proposed new fee increases or any new fees. These are just fees that were increased for the 1997-99 biennium, and because of ORS 291.055, need to be brought forward to the legislature and approved or ratified. And basically that's the purpose of this bill. There's a fiscal impact of about a little under $3 million in revenue, and again, this revenue has been is part of the base budget of the department, and is included in the budget, not only in the 97-99 budget, but it carries forward into the current, into the 99-01 budget.
Questions? Is there anyone here present that wishes to offer a public testimony on the issue?
We'll open a public hearing. House Bill 5020, seeing no testimony, close the public hearing, go into work session on House Bill 5020. I need a motion to adopt this fee structure in statute. Representative King.
I recommend that we adopt the Dash 1 amendments to the House Bill 5020.
Recommendations for Dash 1 amendments to be adopted into 5020. Any discussion? Seeing none, any objections? So ordered. We'll accept a motion to move this bill as amended to the full Ways and Means with a two-pass recommendation. King.
And I move House Bill 5020 to be passed recommendation as amended.
Representative King moves House Bill 5020 as amended to the full Ways and Means with a two-pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections to the motion? Seeing none, so ordered. We report the work session. The name carrier. I need to name a. I will carry for the full Ways and Means and to represent King for the House. Senator, will you carry for the.
You know, I don't like carrying fee increases. I think that the Republicans should carry fee increases. You're the leadership.
Well, I'll take one.
Thank you.
Well, you take it if you want. I don't like carrying
them. Thank you, Senator Berkman. Chair will carry the fee increases.
He's made it great. He's made a rule in our caucus. We don't do this stuff.
I'm a cooperative, but you know, I don't carry fee increases.
Senator,
you ever had $270,000 to get every day?
Fee increases? Senator, if you get a couple of taxes, you should have
it won't help, believe me, Senator.
Okay, that's finishes the order of business on 5020. I think I went out of the work session, but we'll close the public hearing on House Bill 5020 and move to House Bill 3225. Mr. Rocker.
Mr. Chair, I believe there may be some public testimony before we get into any other
arguments.
Mr. Barnes?
Barnes, would you come forward, please? Let's open the public hearing. House Bill 3225.
I didn't get my
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
How are you?
My name is Ron Tigler Barnes, and I'm the administrator of the Chinese Watershed Technical Specialist in the Water. And we are in support of this House Bill. It's desperately needed funding for the conservation districts to do projects. We, you know, I go through this this handout to you, you know, telling you what we're doing at this time, some idea of what we hope to do in the future. But I guess, you know, we're concerned about more than anything else is it was our understanding that this House bill would provide around $150,000 for base funding for watershed for soil and conservation district. In addition to that, around $350,000 for projects. The latest rendition that we've seen, that's been cut down to about $40,000 for base funding. I think it's something like $100,000 for project funding per county. We cannot operate on that. We thought that the House bill had two technical positions, one administrative position, and then an opportunity to tap into funding for projects. That's what we were hoping to have happen. We have one quarter-time secretary. We have one full-time individual, which is me. We have one part-time individual that helps go and goes out and does actually fencing and planning and doing the projects. That individual is dependent upon grants. There's no benefits to these jobs. I have no benefit for my family. We have no benefits for the secretary. We have no benefits for anyone. If you are going to have the conservation districts do something as far as this Oregon Salmon Plan and to be one of the backbone players, then you need to be able to fund at the conservation districts to a point where they can actually do something. And if you want professional staff, full-time staff in these positions, then you need to be able to provide money for that. They're definitely upset, you know, to say the least, to think that there was this pool of money that a lot of individuals in Oregon got together on and voted, saying that they were going to work on salmon habitat and restoration. And then all of a sudden this money came back to this, that, or the other situation when the money was there to do projects on the ground. Soil and water conservation districts are the backbone of that. Watershed councils can work in cooperation with conservation districts to implement projects. That is a natural match. To try to do something different is foolhardy. Since I've gotten this job, I've only been working for Clatsop County for a little while now. They're good people. They're hardworking. They've done nothing. They've done a lot with nothing over time. This is an opportunity to, at least for our conservation district, to get some funding to be able to do work. And I think that's important. And so that's all I have to say. This says some other things in here, but I think that's what I wanted to say.
Thank you, Mr. Barnes. Any questions for Mr. Barnes or for Ms. King?
I have a pretty strong bias about jobs that don't provide any health insurance. Are you saying you have no health insurance in your position? So if you had a serious debilitating injury and you said you've got a family that you'd probably be financially wiped out if you have no benefits?
Well, that's right. We're covered by the income, workers' compensation and that type of thing. You know, we got that type of thing going for us. But as far as any kind of going to the dentist or taking care of my child if he hurts himself, that all comes on me. That doesn't. There's no funding for any benefits there. And if I, lose an arm, a leg, or my head, there's nothing there. No. So you can't. You can't run an operation like that.
Further?
That's how I'm feeling. But...
Any further questions?
Mr. Chair.
Sure.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is that the case in all soil and water districts?
I have no clue. I know that that's the case for ours.
Mr. Chair, I don't believe that is the case in all
counties. Mr. Fever Barnes, I appreciate your testimony as the committee does, and urge you just to, and I'm sure you will, stay engaged in the process and watch the deliberations. There are
lots of different configurations that have been suggested for financing both the watershed councils, cell watershed councils, and the conservation districts. So as we go through these deliberations, I just urge you to keep engaged with this, and thank you for bringing your concerns forward. I know that the there's an intention that there be a level of funding to build capacity at cell water conservation districts and watershed councils. The question of whether or not benefits are offered with that position is entirely up to the watershed council or the board. The Oregon plan is primarily not engaged to provide jobs or funding for specific employment in those organizations. Matter of fact, how they configure themselves is nothing that would concern our group, our legislature. It's some of the watershed council's chair staff, and matter of fact, we're encouraging that they do that. But how they configure their individual contracts is certainly not something that that we would direct from this end, I think. Rosentini, do you have a follow-up?
I agree that we don't, it's not our job to tell them how to run their business and that they can make their own budget allocations. I would hope that they would include, you know, that keep your protection for their employees if they want to make commitments to themselves. But when you're an employee unit of one, you don't have much negotiating ability. So perhaps there is a role that that we might be able to provide in terms of, or that they could or should themselves be taking on in terms of having some larger unit size, you know, so they could get that benefit.
I was thinking that is a good suggestion. We've done that with the, or tried to do that with the liability insurance issue, tried to aggregate the demand and create a mechanism so people have that ability. The other thing is that cell water conservation districts, many of them are taxing districts. They all existed prior to the Oregon plan, and they will be expected to carry some of their own weight. We got one that's a taxing district. The point is, we also encourage everybody that we offered funding to in the original Oregon plan to seek community funding as well for those base positions. Arthur Mitchell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You're touching on the issue I want to ask Mr. Barnes. Does your county contribute to the soil and water district?
$4,000.
Well, Mr. Chair, this is for the benefit of the committee, that varies widely throughout the state. Some counties don't contribute anything. Some counties contribute substantially to the soil and water districts.
And I think we're going to see a, as information sharing and as the capacity it goes up following the demand curve, we're probably going to see a lot of changes in configuration. But we very much appreciate you bringing the issue to the table and letting our committee hear it directly from you. And again, I just encourage you to stay engaged in this.
The one, you know, without adequate base funding, then nothing is going to happen. We need that.
Thank you, sir. We have testimony to hear from the governor's office. Mr. Hemingway, good morning.
The record, Roy Hemingway, manager of the Oregon Plan for Salmon and Watersheds in the governor's office. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My only subject of my testimony today is the Dash 19 amendments that have been put before you, which in part create a restoration and protection research fund on the bottom of page one and the top of page two. And this research fund, according to the Dash 19 amendments, is to receive the interest from the operating fund and then have that money dedicated to research. We would want to see included within that definition of research or added there include monitoring and evaluation and assessment because those are very key components of a research function which we would want to see covered, and they're very key components. It's one of the key components of the Oregon plan. Without monitoring and evaluation, we don't really have an ability to have an Oregon plan because we won't know whether what we're trying to do has any effect at all.
Monitoring, evaluation, and
Something around habitat assessment, yeah.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Borden?
Mr. Hemingway, it's my understanding that those three things are included in the definition of capital in what can be funded under the capital portion of the fund. Can you comment on that in light of what you'd like to see done?
Yes, Representative Morgan. Monitoring and evaluation and assessment are included within capital with respect to specific projects. When you are doing a project, there necessarily has to be some assessment of the habitat around that project, and there has to be some monitoring and evaluation of the data from that monitoring after the project is put in. But general baseline monitoring, the kind of monitoring we're doing all over the coastal zone right now to see whether overall we're having the effect that the Oregon plan is expected to have, we don't believe can be included within the definition of capital. That is a standard operating expense of the program.
I see the difference.
Any questions, Senator Corcoran?
Well, Mr. Chair, I just kind of iterate at that same point. The Coalition for Parks and Salmon, in their, one of their handouts, talks about the fact that capital expenditures should be narrowly defined and shouldn't include monitoring functions. It's just another reiteration of the backflow question.
Senator Corcoran, I might have misheard you. They said that capital expenditures should not include the monitoring function?
Capital expenditures should be narrowly defined to mean funds for real on-the-ground projects, not new or existing staff or long-term research and monitoring functions.
Okay.
Word works.
Just another opinion. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, it's an opinion, though, from the Coalition that brought us the plan that passed 2-1 and has brought us so much controversy in this wonderful building.
Right. Well, we thrive on controversy here.
Yes, we do.
Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Roy, this looks to me like, one more piece to put into the puzzle to get where we have $5 or $6 to spend for every dollar that we have in income in this. And I do appreciate the distinction that you've made with Representative Morgan. In the area, however, of research, it does strike me if we get too burdened down with some of the other monitoring that you're referring to, that ultimately we may have nothing left for the research itself. And so, I guess my question is a recognition on the part of the governor's office of the kind of delicate balance that we're trying to achieve here as we get to how to distribute the money to get the best for the dollar that we have.
Representative Jensen, thank you for that comment. We have a monitoring team that oversees the monitoring program, which is spread out among a variety of different agencies, forestry, DEQ, Division of State Lands. All of these agencies are doing some aspect of the monitoring. And there's no doubt that scientists have as big an appetite for these dollars as everyone else who comes before you. And it's our job to ensure that they get what is necessary to make sure that the program can work, but to make sure that most of those dollars go on the ground to get a habitat improvement project.
Okay.
My definition actually of research would include monitoring, assessment, evaluation, for what that's worth. And also for
my friend Senator Corcoran, it seems like it's really interesting how definitions seem to expand after ballot measures. It seems like capital expenditures and economic development seem to have much broader meanings after ballot measures than before.
Well, Mr. Chair, I'd only respond that this is a narrow definition, and it's brought to us by the Coalition. I mean, I agree absolutely with your statement that you can't have research without monitoring. I mean, they seem to be Anonymous. It's a component part of the research, but it just brings us back into this question always of, you know, what are we doing, what are we providing out of that ballot measure initiative that looks new to the public? Because the public's going to be pretty irritated with us if all we use this for is backflow.
Thank you, Mickey. Since we've entered into the swamps of definitions, it's time to have our guys come to the table and talk about these definitions.
So, what you're doing over there?
Hi, sir. Let's see. We'll get a correction.
Annette Holman from Legislative Council. I actually have two small items that I'd like to talk about, small in some ways. One of them is the definition of capital expenditures as it appears in House Bill 3225. Currently, all capital expenditures under this definition have to be related to a project. And we have looked at the Constitution, and one of the things that you can use major citizens money for is land and water acquisition. And it's questionable whether that would entirely fit under this definition.
Since it's not a project.
Because it's not a project. So I would suggest that perhaps we need to change that definition slightly. And to do that, I would suggest that you change the read-in to the series of things that you can use the money for to read means direct expenses related to the restoration, enhancement, or protection of fish and wildlife habitat, watershed functions, native salmonid populations, and water quality, including but not limited to, and then you can go through the list as it is now, which ties everything to a project, but it also leaves open the possibility of using that money for something that is not a project, but that is a capital expenditure, such as land acquisition or water right acquisition. I just think the Constitution does not limit the use of that 65%, particularly to a project. It limits it to a capital expenditure. We don't have a definition of project in the statute, so that's something that's going to be defined as we go, presumably by the board. But,
Mr. Chair,
we have a question, Representative Jensen.
Thank you. Solving our problem here, can we, for purposes of this particular law define project as to include land acquisition and or lease or water rights?
Mr. Chair, Representative Jensen, I'm not sure we want to put a definition of project in the statute. If we leave something out, then we're stuck. Again, that's a decision you have to make, but that is a danger of trying to define something that could see whatever anybody thinks up to the narrow confines of the definition.
Senator Corcoran.
Well, I think I answered my question. If you change line 16, you can still leave the reference to projects in line 24 because that's just a subspecies of the general.
Mr. Chair, Senator Corcoran, that's correct.
Okay. Yes. We're dealing with subspecies today. These are wild fish subspecies, by the way. Bad genes.
Senator Gene,
when we look at line 14 on page 1, it says the board, reward, and watershed, OWEB, created under this, and then we go back to page 9, and it talks about the fact that OWEB will have the power to afford acquisition of land and water that doesn't still leave them solidly in the position of making that decision?
Mr. Chair, Senator George, it gives them the authority to acquire land or water, but if we define it too narrow, if we define capital expenditures too narrowly here, they would have to take it out of the 35% rather than out of the 65%.
And Lord knows we need all that 35% for backup.
I didn't say it. The second issue, if nobody has further questions about capital expenditures, is just a housekeeping amendment that I should have caught when I did the bill in one of its many, many, many other forms, but I didn't. And there are four sections in the statutes that are left over from last session where we used the term Oregon Coastal Salmon Restoration Initiative, which I believe no longer exists. It is now the Oregon Plan, and we just need to update those statutes so that we have the correct
ones. Those hefty spell checks sometimes don't get everything.
That's
right. Give all night to work on those.
Yeah.
Actually, all night from 8 a.m.
I wanted to let you know I was going to do that because it's going to cause a number of new sessions to appear in the bill, and I didn't want anyone to be surprised.
Okay. Will you be bringing that amendments to the committee?
Whenever you tell them.
Okay. Any questions for Jeanette about those changes?
I think one of the things that I will do as chair is make sure that we recap the changes that we're making in House Bill 3225 for transmission to all the members of the FRT committee. Even though these changes are not earth-shaking, I think we better keep that line of communication open, invite any testimony from the members of the committee, make sure they're aware of the changes, because a couple of them are substantive changes, just to keep them updated. Any other questions? Thank you, Jeanette. Appreciate it. Mr. Rocco.
Mr. Chair, I think next what we can do today is go over a little bit of what was released in the leadership budget plan earlier this week, just to give some background to the committee on the backfill issue that everyone's interested in, as well as some of the proposed use of the Measure 66 funds by the governor and what the committee has done to date with those proposals. So I'll pass out two points of information. Yeah, the first item is just the list of the national resource budget increases with a comparison between the legislative and the branch and the governor's proposal. And you'll notice on the third line is the Measure 66 salmon stream programs, where the governor has proposed an increase in funding for those activities of $35.1 million. And the legislative budget is assuming an increase of 28.6. The way this works out is the governor's budget assumed a backfill from the current service level general fund that was provided to the governor's watershed enhancement board of about $8.6 million general fund, and was assuming replacing that general fund money in the base with these Measure 66 lottery funds, which is why the 35.1 is not the full amount of the Measure 66 revenue, which is at the time the governor's budget was being developed was higher than it is currently, which is now about $43.45 million for salmon.
And because due to that backfill that the governor's budget proposed about $35 million of new resource to the salmon feed programs. And on the legislative budget is assuming a larger backfill or basically a replacement of general fund for Oregon plan type activities with another $66. And right, the current estimate is about $28.6 million, which is a backfill of just under $15 million.
Mr. Chair?
Sure.
Mr. Rocco, $15 million out of the $28.6 in the new salmon screen program then is measure 66 backfill?
That would be $15 million out of the $43.45 million. From this point, we should refer to that as the bicameral, bipartisan backfill. Everybody has
backfill. Right. Not that everybody's in agreement. And so that number on the governor's side, then, is it any different than the 15 million?
Yes. Mr. Chair, Senator Corcoran, the ballot measure will provide $43.45 million of revenue for the Oregon plan and other eligible activities under the Constitution. And in both plans, the legislative plan and the governor's plan, $43.45 million will be spent on those activities. The governor's plan initially anticipated about $8.6 million of that $43.45 to be the replacement of existing general fund and agency's budget with measure $66. The legislative budget currently is projecting about $15 million.
Okay.
A backfill of that $43.45.
Okay, that was what I was trying to get at, was the difference between the government and the legislature.
And, Scirocco, on the differences in the backfill, of that approximately $15 million in backfill, how many of those backfill items have been recommended by the agency heads or the governor in constructing this backfill budget?
Mr. Chair, the backfill is really taking base programs that are existing in agency budgets and replacing them with measure $66. So all of these programs have been recommended for inclusion in agency budgets, but with a different funding source. So it's just a swap, a dollar-for-dollar swap of measure 66 for general fund. The governor took the general fund money that was backfilled in the governor's budget, took it and reinvested it in different program areas, some in natural resources, some in other areas, and the legislature is planning to do the same approach. However, the amount of backfill is slightly more than in the governor's plan.
Okay. And all of them, however, have to fit the constitutional statutory definitions of measure 66.
That's correct.
Okay. Question? Mr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Rocco, do we have at this point a spreadsheet or a float sheet on this 8.6 and 15 as to specifically where it came from or where it's
Mr. Chair, Representative Jensen, not at this time, but it's being developed, and this was a target figure that was provided by the co-chair to in order to balance the budget, and we're trying at this time to identify the exact places where that would come from. Mm-hmm.
Paul? Personally, that would be helpful for me if I had that. But as a second to that, I would have just a request that if we deal with any of these budgets prior to the time that we get that kind of follow-up thing, it would be helpful if you would be kind enough to inform me that X percent of this particular budget is part of that 15 or 8.6 or...
Mr. Sheriff Ben Jensen, I understand that, and so far to date, that is probably why we have not been dealing with the Department of Ag, Department of Fish and Wildlife, and the Department of Environmental Quality budgets. The only use of Measure $66 in any budget so far that's been passed out of the Ways and Means has been in the state police budget, where there was an identification of Measure 66 resources for law enforcement activities related to measures as an eligible use of measures.
And that was about $1 million?
It was about $2.5 million.
Okay.
Somehow, I suspicion that that's why we were.
And in all candor, the discussions are continuing, even as we speak, or right after we speak.
Just to check my math, there is a $6.5 million difference in the support of the base program between the governor's proposal and legislative proposal. Is that right?
Ms. Chair, that's correct. There's approximately $6.2 million difference in the backfill amount.
Further questions, Mr. Rocha, or Representative Cheney?
It's the only place that we spent the money was in the place where it was important. But my understanding was that somehow we'd already made commitments for, maybe something, but I'm sure we committed money that was designated for watershed, council, administration, and somehow we had to figure out how to get that back in because we weren't able to.
Perhaps if I gave you how the governor proposed to use the money in those jurisdictions, and it would be more, we could discuss that easier with the sheet.
Why don't we do that? Let's go ahead and produce a spreadsheet. I'm sure people are interested in seeing how these are going, at least in discussion.
Which is using the analogy of executive session. Executive session is very strictly for local governments. Really has to do with
Senator Griffin, your comments are going on to the internet.
That's good. That's good. I would like those people to know about the negotiations that are going underway with nobody knowing about them over an $11 billion budget are blowing up. Thank you.
Did we, Senator Griffin, have the debt match?
I think we should do all the government's work in secret. Why don't we just get these people out of here?
Mr. Griffin moves that we close the session.
Senator Griffin moves that we
close the session. Is there a second?
Yeah, I got a second back there from the fish guy.
Mr. Rocco, would you try and proceed? Senator Griffin,
they're all hard to go
down. My understanding is that whether it's the 8 or 15 million, that basically any of the backfill are items within budget of agencies that are accomplishing the goals of the Oregon plan and the Measure 66. So it's, accounting-wise, as far as having a handle on the dollars that are going, it would be reasonable to do that.
Mr. Chair, Senator George, that's correct. Okay.
Rocco, can proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The spreadsheets that I provided is basically outlines the governor's recommended use of the Measure 66 lottery dollars, split between the operating side and the capital side. And if you've been keeping track, because of the split in the Constitution, it says that 65% of all Measure 66 dollars for the famine and restoration activities are to be spent on capital expenditures. That means that at least $28.2 million of the $43.4 million that's going to be available will be needed to be spent on capital expenditures. No more than $15.2 million can be spent on operating expenses. You'll note that the governor's proposed budget is off of that a little bit, and that's simply because this was done before the latest forecast was made available. So simply due to a change in the projected number of revenue dollars from Measure 66. But at the time, the governor kept close to that kind of a 65-35 split. In the far right column is simply what the Natural Resources Subcommittee has done to date on these items that the governor had included in his allocation of Measure $66. The ones with blanks are in agencies where there has been no work session yet. The other ones, deferral means if it was the package was recommended for elimination from the agency's budget, but with some indication that it would be considered as part of the allocation of Measure $66 by the committee. The one that was funded but in an alternative manner was underwater resources, package number 138, the steelhead supplement Tillamook water master position. The governor had proposed to fund this with Measure 66 lottery funds on the operating side, and the subcommittee actually funded it with general funds. So that position has been taken care of in the Water Resources Department budget. One other item that should be pointed out is a couple of items on the governor's capital list are not likely to be eligible for capital, for the capital side, based on the definition in House Bill 3225, primarily the positions associated with the watershed weed control program in the Department of Agriculture. Package number 100. There's been an interest in not funding state positions with the capital expenditure side of the ballot measure. So the capital, administrative side of that package would be needed to shift over to the operating side. And the same would go with the Water Resources Department positions associated with installing surface water gauges in package 135. Now, in response to Representative King's question, if you'll notice in two places on the governor's proposed list that there are, in the Department of Ag, package number 119 is $2.4 million for soil and water conservation district grants for technical staff. And in the governor's watershed enhancement board, package 191 has $2.4 million to be provided for local watershed council support. And the GWEB portion has been deferred simply because GWEB was removed from the Water Resources Department and is going to be reformulated as OWEB as an independent agency. And we have not dealt with the Department of Ag's allocation of $2.4 million. However, both of those items are high priorities on the leadership's list of projects and would be included under the operating side from information that I have at this time.
Mr. Arthur, Mr. Fieger Barnes testified to his concern about the base support for watershed councils and SOAR conservation districts. Could you discuss the implications for the $2.4 million allocation for each of those in the governor's budget?
Mr. Chair, the governor's budget continues the same level of payments that were provided to soil and water conservation districts and watershed councils left in the current biennium.
And that was got to, I guess I'm just trying to get a fix on Mr. Fieger Barnes' testimony about the amount for watershed council. We got a fix on that.
Mr. Chair, I'm not sure at this time. We would have to get some more information about the amount for watershed council.
Okay. Mr. Chair? What's our measure?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Rocco, could you give us a clearer picture of the total amount both to soil and water districts and to watershed councils? What I'm getting at is watershed, soil and water districts are also supported through the Department of Ag budget. For administrative costs. That is in addition to the $2.4 million you're talking here, I believe. And also in regards to watershed councils, in the past, for the sake of salmon, has contributed towards some of those
the coordinators' positions. Do we have a figure? I haven't seen them in the building. For the sake of time and all this session, I'm not sure if they still have a program or... we do know that the watershed councils are more than double in the numbers than they were last session. Yet we're talking the same amount of money, so I think we need to know the full picture of. And in some cases, I believe Forest Service and some other federal agencies are also contributing to the watershed council because.
Mr. Chair, Representative, we will get that information and bring it back to the committee.
What's that saying?
Yes, of course, Forest Service has been in the building a number of times. This session, they were in the FRQ area a number of times. And I'm not 100% sure, but it seems like when we had the Heritage Council presenting their budget request, we'd ask to see more fully what their funding sources were. If I recall correctly, they were receiving some funds from that source as a part of that budget, but we haven't seen other parts. And just then to follow on, I think we got the same number of soil and water conservation districts as before, and the current service level budgeting has some sense along that line. That watershed councils have about twice the number, and so there's that issue with respect to current service level expenditures for a higher number of councils.
Further questions? Mr. Russell, any further elucidation on the spreadsheet?
Mr. Chair, that's all I have for the committee today, and I believe based on discussions that are ongoing within legislative leadership that we'll have more details on the sources of backfill and the proposed allocations under the legislative leadership plan of Measure 66 at a later date.
Further? Well, this is a deafening silence from the group here. Do you have any other issues today on our agenda, Mr.
No, Mr. Chair. The conclusion of today's meeting.
Okay. Is there anyone here present who would like to offer additional testimony, observations, or clarification? We will be revisiting this issue. Today is our last meeting for the week. Monday, I imagine we'll be talking about additional issues, but as this clarifies, we'll be bringing forth the committee's recommendations for distribution of these dollars. No further business to come before the committee. This committee stands in adjournment until Monday morning. Thank you.